Grace and peace to you from Emmanuel, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, God with us. I'd like to read to you today just a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 1. The angel said to Joseph, "She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for sending your Son to be Emmanuel, God with us. We pray that now as we hear and meditate on your word, that you would be with us, that you would give us encouragement, hope, and great joy this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a man who many of you know from history named John Wesley. He was a famous English Methodist preacher, and we'll actually sing one of his brother's hymns at the end of this service, "Hark the Herald Angels" by Charles Wesley. John Wesley, though, was one of those people who history records as having some famous last words. As his family gathered around him as John Wesley lay dying, his last words were recorded as being, "The best of all is God with us." The best of all is God with us. And it was then another famous English preacher, Charles Spurgeon, who said, as John Wesley had those words on his lips as he lay dying, "Let us live with those same words on our hearts." The best of all is God with us. Friends, usually we preach on a passage of Scripture. Sometimes we might focus in just on one or two verses, but today I'd like to focus in on just one word, Emmanuel. What does it mean for God to be with us in Jesus Christ? We'll look at it from three perspectives today. First, that he is Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. Second, that he's Emmanuel, God with us in grace. And finally, that he's Emmanuel, God with us forever. So first, he is God with us in the flesh. It's important for us to see that the promise of God being with his people is not new. In Jesus, God had always promised to be with his people in some way. So, very generally, they were to know he was with them as they were protected from their enemies, as they received his blessings. God was with his people in the tabernacle, in the tent of meeting, in the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night as they journeyed through the desert. God was with his people in the temple as they brought their sacrifices to God, as they received their blessings from God at the temple, as they offered their prayers. Right through the Old Testament, you have wonderful promises, like the one given to Joshua as he stood at the entrance to the promised land. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That was my confirmation text, actually. The promise of God being with us, it's not completely new in Jesus. What is new is how he is with us. In what way is he now with us? The promise of Emmanuel of Christmas is that God is now with us in the flesh. God is now with us as one of us. God is now with us in the God-man, Jesus Christ. God and humanity inseparably joined together. I wonder if you've ever been apart from someone you love for a long time. Have you known that deep yearning to be with someone in the flesh? It's interesting to me how modern technology has in some ways bridged this gap, but in other ways exacerbated the problem. So things like Skype and FaceTime are wonderful tools. Some of you have family on the other side of the country, the other side of the world, and you can connect with them like never before. Perhaps you've even done that this morning. I use these technologies a lot. They're wonderful, and yet there's something about that screen with your loved ones there which makes them feel so close and yet so far. You just want to reach out and touch them, to be in the flesh with them, to have that sense of their physical presence. We are embodied creatures, and that is what we ultimately long for, that sort of fellowship. And this is the message of Christmas, the message of Emmanuel, that in Jesus God is with us in the flesh. In Jesus, God has entered into the human experience from the cradle to the grave. Better even, from the womb to the tomb. There is no part of this human fleshly journey where God has not been. All of the struggle, all of the temptation, all of the suffering, in Emmanuel, God has been there, and so he is with us. He is not far away, he is near. Number one, Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. Number two, though, is Emmanuel, God with us in grace. God with us to save. It's one thing to know that God is with you, but let me ask you this, is that automatically good news? Maybe not. Imagine you're working at a company, and a memo comes around from the CEO of the company saying that he will be with us at our next branch meeting. Is that good news? Well, it all depends. Depends on a lot of factors. Depends on your performance lately. Depends what sort of person the CEO is. It depends what his goal is in coming to be with you. As we hear of God with us, the sensitive conscience rightly asks, with me to do what exactly? Is God with me to harm or to help? Is God with me to hurt or to heal? Is God with me to crush or to lift up? Is he with me to condemn or to save? Is he with me in anger or is he with me in grace? These questions are worth asking. Because the sad reality of the human race is that as much as God has wanted to be with us, we have not wanted to be with him. The story of humanity, the story of Israel, the story of each of our lives is one of turning away from this God who made us, of not living as he would have us live, of resisting his offer to be with us. And this is why Christmas is such good news, friends. Because the good news of Emmanuel is that the determining factor is actually not in you, but in God, in his will, in his love. Because in Jesus, God is with us in grace. He's with us to save. Listen to the words of the angel. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The God who is with us is the God who is for us in Christ Jesus. You don't want to just have someone with you generically, ambiguously. You want someone truly with you, for you, on your side in life. And so St. Paul writes these glorious words, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not together with him graciously give us all things? Emmanuel is God with us in grace. His being with us in grace and in the flesh means that he comes to give his life for us. That's how he saves his people from their sins. He's with you to help. He's with you to heal. He's with you to lift up, with you to save, with you in grace. Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us in grace. And finally, Emmanuel, God with us forever. The Gospel of Matthew begins in this first chapter with the birth of Jesus and the promise that in this child, God is with us. And then right at the end of the Gospel, the very last verse, this same promise is echoed. The Gospel is bookended as the risen Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, says, "And behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. I am Emmanuel, not just for a time, not just temporarily, but always, forever." Think again of the contrast with this life. At this time of year, we are conscious of one of the great blessings of life, simply to be with those we love. Many of us are fortunate to know this positively. We also do well as Christian people this time of year to remember that many people know this same truth negatively, because for one reason or another, they can't be with their loved ones. But even in the best times, as we are with others in this life, there's always something fleeting about it. There's always something temporary. Holidays are never long enough, are they? Friendships come and go. People move away. The witness we have with each other is fleeting. And finally, we all die. And what do we say? Well, that person, they're no longer with us. We long for a fellowship, a witness that is more permanent. And so Emmanuel, the risen Jesus, comes to us and says, "I am with you always." That child in Mary's arms, the one who has taken on human flesh, he didn't take it off again. That one in Mary's arms who became incarnate, he did not de-incarnate. He is Emmanuel today. He is Emmanuel forever. Earlier, I said that in the human journey, this means that God has always been there before us. There is nothing we experience where Christ has not first been. But it's even better than that, because he's Emmanuel forever, which means not only that he's been there before, but that he's still there. He's still walking beside you. He's with you in all of the hardships of life in the flesh. He is with you even today. There is never a moment where he is not your Emmanuel. God with us. God with you. And that makes me think of just one more with phrase. In our catechism, Martin Luther asks, What is Holy Communion? Answer, it is the real body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ with bread and wine. How is he with us always? How is he Emmanuel even for you today? God is with us as we receive the body and blood of Christ with the bread and wine. Here at this altar today is your Emmanuel. Here is your God with you in grace. Here is your God with you and for you. The best of all is God with us. One man died with those words on his lips. Let us live with them on our hearts. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us in grace. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us forever. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.